This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Facebook plans to make more information available worldwide. Don't worry, not about you, about the political ads purchased on its services. The latest attempt to fight off fake news has Facebook announcing some new tools at play, ones that can hopefully guard against the spread of misinformation in future elections. We'll talk about it after these tech headlines. Snap Inc. named its chief accountant, Lara Sweet, as interim finance boss, taking over for Tim Stone, who has spent the last year at the company. Snap also lost several high-profile employees last year, including chief strategy officer Imran Khan. Shares were unchanged in after-hours trading, but were down 53% over the past 12 months. One thing that isn't down, IT spending. Spending on information technology is expected to rise in 2019. Gartner projects a notable growth in IT spending, this even as broader trends point to a slowing economy. Driven by cloud-based software subscriptions, spending on enterprise software is projected to grow 8.5% this year. And food delivery startups are cooking up, a new model, one that's all about the kitchen. A new breed of restaurant players, startups like Kitchen United, Kitopi, and Itza, hope to be more durable in a market where others have failed. Hey, Munchery. Sometimes called ghost or cloud kitchens, the new idea is to change things up, like prepare food for off-site dining, leaving the distribution to others. Some are bringing the WeWork model to the food world by leasing kitchen space to restaurants. And founders and investors say these new models could help cut overhead and boost competitiveness. The rush to revamp food has also attracted backers like SoftBank. In November, WSJ Pro reported SoftBank Vision Fund made a $375 million investment in Zoom Pizza, which is developing robot technology that can prepare and cook pizzas while en route to delivery. Coming up, with elections looming upon us worldwide, Facebook takes new steps to combat political interference. Facebook plans to make more information available worldwide about political ads purchased on its services. Its latest bid to fight off politically motivated interference in elections, from India to the European Union. Let's head over to Europe for more. Joining us from Paris via Skype is Wall Street Journal reporter Sam Schechner. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So the 2016 U.S. elections seem like eons ago. We know that the handling of Russian interference did not go well. Political warfare wreaking havoc on social media, it's clearly a global issue. And it seems like Europe is the next big test. How would you describe the heightened level of concern there? You know, fast forwarding to January 2019, where are we right now?
Well, we're just a few months out from a big parliamentary election for the EU's parliament. And in the EU, there are definitely concerns that Russia or other foreign actors are going to try to sway the national votes in each country they vote for the parliament. And there's certainly expectations that, you know, Euroskeptics or other anti-establishment or extremist candidates could win significant support. So against that backdrop, the EU has been pushing companies to do more to try to contain inauthentic activity, disinformation, fake news. And that's something that Facebook actually has been doing itself. It's been under a lot of pressure in the US and elsewhere. And so it's been sort of, its plan has been to roll out some of these features, new features that they call ad transparency and election integrity as elections come up. So there was, you know, they did some before the Irish election last year and then before the U.S. midterm election last year. And so then there's the next country is going to be India. And then following that, they're doing some stuff in the EU and going to roll these things out globally. But the EU is definitely a really complicated sphere. And I think it'd be one of the bigger tests simply because it involves dozens of countries and languages at the same time.
Right. Tall order. But it's got a game plan. You mentioned some of the tools that it's got on its belt right now. So how is it going to prevent this foreign interference? I imagine a lot of the focus will go into political advertising and making it more transparent.
Yes. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of people might say that that response is only part of the issue. You know, a lot of what people are seeing online isn't necessarily paid ads, but is other what Facebook would call coordinated inauthentic activity from fake accounts and things like that. And Facebook has been removing fake accounts. Not all of those accounts are buying ads. You know, they're purporting to be normal people spreading stories and things that aren't true. So this is tackling one element of that problem. People can debate how effective it is, but what Facebook is doing is they are rolling out a system whereby all political ads and ads that are issue ads on certain specific hot button issues that they are going to determine with outside entities have to have a disclaimer about who paid for the ad. And then you can click on that and see who's behind it. So that's one thing. And one can also debate whether or not the disclosure is really deep enough. It's there. You need to enter the name of a group to buy the ad. Does that mean, and the ads need to be approved, but does that mean necessarily that there's enough information there to really determine who's behind it? You know, that's something that's been debated. The second thing that Facebook is rolling out is what, you know, essentially a searchable database of ads, because Facebook ads are by definition targeted at individual people based on their web browsing habits. And that includes political ads. So if somebody decides that they want to target Tanya because they know that she's really, really interested in, you know, I don't know, more pizza on Thursdays.
I am.
And that's your political issue. I'm surprised that's your political issue, but that's the thing you're really activist about. And so they can target you political ads based just on that. So, you know, but that means I won't see those ads. If I'm trying to see if there's an influence operation targeting people who like pizza on Thursdays, I wouldn't know about it. So the searchable database is supposed to solve that problem. All political ads are available there and you can see who they were targeted at and why. And so they're rolling that out progressively. And by June, it's supposed to be global for all the elections that they're covering.
Can't be stated enough how complicated this is. I mean, clearly. And Facebook has been accused of not acting quickly enough, not doing enough to, you know, get on the ball here. Where are its critics standing with its current efforts? What sentiment are you getting from them?
Critics would say that they want more information, that they want more data about who is buying the political ads, that the transparency doesn't go far enough. Facebook says that they're making steps in that direction and that it's a work in progress and they know they have more to do. So it is possible that this pressure could lead to more action. Currently, they're doing this sort of voluntarily. In many cases, there's not, you know, something like the Federal Elections Commission requirements for donations, you know, to say who is buying which ads on Facebook. I mean, election committees have to disclose where they spend money. So you can see all these campaigns spent money on Facebook, but you can't necessarily see which groups bought which ads. So this is adding some transparency provided. And then on top of that, you know, I think people who are critics of Facebook would say that, you know, beyond paid ads, they have more work to do on the transparency for which kind of content is being shown to whom, because it's the organic content that's not always paid for that can lead to some of this very viral spreading of false information. So, you know, and that's something that Facebook has tackled to some extent recently. They've put restrictions in certain parts of the world on how many people you can share information with via WhatsApp to help kind of reduce the virality of some of the content, which has been accused of inciting violence, for instance.
Right, it's something that we're just clearly in the thick of, and again, Europe is obviously going to be the next big test. So, thank you for the latest on that front, Sam. We always appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That does it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.